It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have fairly fair skies, 37 degrees. Out at the airport, they are reporting 52% humidity, completely calm winds, and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 30% chance of snow after 4 this afternoon, with increasing clouds as the day wears on. High near 37, west winds to 5, becoming southerly this afternoon. For tonight, they're saying snow is quite likely, at least until 10 p.m., snow showers after that. Areas of blowing snow between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Low around 28 overnight tonight with southeast winds to 30, coming down to 15 or 20 after midnight, but could gust as high as 40 tonight. Snow showers for tomorrow, too, with a high near 37, northeast winds to 10, gusting to 30. Coming up on the Midday Report, Dan Sullivan spoke to constituents at the recent Comfish.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A grand jury is expected to vote soon on whether to indict former President Donald Trump. Trump has claimed without evidence that he's going to be arrested today and has called for protests. The former president and now candidate for the 2024 presidential race has been the subject of an investigation into a hush money payment to an adult film star with whom Trump allegedly had an affair. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's running the probe. NPR's Andrea Bernstein reports.
Bragg has pressed forward. Under Trump, he has convicted Trump's company. Trump's company was found by a jury to have committed 17 felonies. So there is certainly on his side that a jury of Trump's peers has found that his company committed a crime. And that is a powerful rebuttal to the idea that the prosecution is somehow made up or politically motivated.
NPR's Andrea Bernstein reporting. The probe faces GOP backlash. NPR's Deirdre Walsh reports House Republicans are wrapping up a three-day retreat in Florida today.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy insisted that GOP lawmakers are focused squarely on their agenda, plans to pass energy legislation, a parents' bill of rights, and border security measures. He and other Republicans have dismissed Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's investigation of Trump as purely political and say it won't stand up in court.
So it's not here that we're coming to defend President Trump. What we're coming to defend is equal justice in America.
But GOP lawmakers launched their own probe of Bragg and are demanding he testify before Congress. So the debate over the former president's legal situation is expected to continue to be a focus for Trump's allies on Capitol Hill. Deirdre Walsh, NPR News, Orlando, Florida.
U.S. stocks end the day higher as a critical Federal Reserve meeting got underway. NPR's David Gurr reports Wall Street's waiting to see if the Fed hikes interest rates again to fight high inflation when there are still concerns about the banking system.
Shares of regional banks continued to rise as the banking system showed signs it's stabilizing after the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank and UBS's emergency takeover of Credit Suisse. California-based First Republic Bank, which has faced an exodus of customers, saw its share price go up more than 30%, regaining some of the ground it's lost in recent days. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the Biden administration would consider stepping in again if there were more bank runs at other smaller banks. Meanwhile, Federal Reserve policymakers are debating whether it makes sense to continue raising interest rates to fight high inflation, given all the uncertainty and unease in markets. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
The Dow closes up nearly 1%. The Nasdaq was up 1.5%, and the S&P picked up, ending at 1.3%. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Senator Dan Sullivan reiterated his support for the state's salmon fisheries during his presentation on the final day of Kodiak's annual commercial fishing trade show, ComFish, last week. Sullivan slammed a Washington State Conservation Group's lawsuit seeking to close Southeast Alaska's king salmon troll fishery as, quote, outrageous. Sullivan also touted the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force Act as progress on understanding declining salmon populations in western Alaska.
It seeks to coordinate and fund federal research efforts on what is happening to our salmon. You know, there is much we don't know about research with regard to salmon, particularly during the maritime part of their life cycle.
The federal legislation was sponsored by Sullivan and fellow Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski and funds research on Alaska's declining salmon populations in western Alaska. It was included in the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill signed into law late last year. Sullivan, a Republican, voted against that package, citing what he described at the time as a dysfunctional process. The task force is still in its early phases and is expected to have a final report out on its findings next year, according to NOAA. Sullivan also highlighted a broad range of what he described as legislative wins for Alaska's fishermen, including provisions in the Coast Guard Authorization Act passed last year with Sullivan's support, aimed at maritime safety. He also said Alaska's congressional delegation hoped to see funding for Alaska's fishing industry included in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Bill, but he did not say what Farm Bill funding for fishermen might look like. Kodiak state legislators are concerned about Alaska's shrinking budget. KMXT's Brian Venois reports that was the main takeaway from their ComFish presentation last week.
There wasn't much talk about fish at the state legislative update on Friday, but Representative Stutes did provide one big update for fisheries. The commissioner of Fish and Game is creating a new board to tackle bycatch.
People were frustrated, didn't know who to call, what to do, when they thought there were bycatch issues, and now there's going to be an actual board that falls under the state boards and commissions.
Stutes also reiterated struggles with finding a crew for Alaska Marine Highway System ferries, including the Kennecott. The current plan for the Kennecott is to launch as soon as they're able to find and train staff. It will remain tied up at the dock in the meantime. Funding for the Marine Highway System has been a challenge overall, and Stutes says it's difficult to work with an inconsistent and shrinking budget.
When this budget was created that we're on now, it was created on $102 barrel oil. And as you know, we're down to $73 a barrel. So we already started out in the hole.
Senate President Gary Stevens was unable to be at ComFish in person, however was able to attend virtually. He says the only way for the state to have any kind of budget is to take from the permanent fund dividends earnings.
We have to use the earnings of the permanent fund both for funding our government and avoid charging you taxes to do that, and we have to use that to provide the permanent fund dividends. So we'll try to keep that dividend as high as we can. It was very high this year. I don't think it'll be that high this coming year.
Dunleavy's current budget suggests using about half of this year's earnings to run the government, but Stevens says the legislature could use up to 75% of the PFD's earnings to run the government's programs. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
Kodiak residents will rally in support of healthy relationships tomorrow as part of the Choose Respect March. This year's Choose Respect March is organized by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. It's the first march since before the pandemic. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth spoke with KWRCC's outreach coordinator, Ellamy Tiller, ahead of tomorrow's march. She says the pandemic presented unique challenges and learning opportunities for the organization. And a note for some listeners, this conversation includes discussion of sexual and domestic violence.
It was a complicated and kind of scary time for our agency and for agencies like ours all over the country. We knew that there were people who were afraid to come into shelter because they were afraid of getting sick if they were sharing space with other people. We knew that there were people who were on lockdown with their perpetrators, with their abusive partners, and so couldn't get private space to call us or to get away and come in. So we knew that there were people we were really worried about. One thing that we did get a lot better at during the pandemic and that we've been able to keep up since then is kind of boosting our crisis line and our teen line so that folks can, you know, find out how to get a hold of us even if they can't come in. We also got a lot better about kind of paying attention to our Facebook messages and other social media and making sure that people could find ways to contact us through our website, through email, things like that.
I was just about to ask that if there were anything from the pandemic that you had taken and were still using as tools in your toolbox.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those kinds of things helped us realize how we could be reaching out to folks who don't even live in Kodiak, how important it was to be accessible for folks, say, in villages or even in mainland Alaska or other parts of the country. We've had folks calling our crisis line or emailing us from all over America. And usually we can manage to get them connected to someone in their area that does what we do. But it's been really nice to be able to kind of help folks that can't physically come into our building because they don't live in town. So especially I think for our villages, that's been really important. And that's definitely something we're still working on improving.
Data released recently showed that while most crime across Alaska has been going down, violent crime, including assault and rape, has actually gone up over the last decade. Is that surprising to you? And how reflective is that of what you're seeing in Kodiak?
It's unfortunately not surprising. It is really heartbreaking because I think that, you know, in a lot of ways as a society, we're getting a lot better about talking about these kinds of violence, about standing up against these kinds of violence. Things like our Choose Respect initiative. People are aware of these issues, are more comfortable talking about these issues. And the more you can talk about things, the easier it is to stop them from happening or to prevent them from happening altogether. But unfortunately, especially during the pandemic and since, we've seen a significant spike in incidences around the island. And what's been really interesting is, while, like I was saying, we had a lot less contact in the initial stages of the pandemic, we've had a lot of folks reaching out to us in the last like 6 months about assaults that happened a year ago, 2 years ago. So there's definitely still lots of support that we can give folks. And like, we encourage everybody to reach out and to contact us no matter how long ago something happened. There's definitely ways we can help. But it is just hard to think like, oh, you know, you've been dealing with this by yourself for the last 2 years. That's a long time to have that weight on you.
And you brought up the Choose Respect March that is this week. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that kind of fits into what we're talking about right now?
Right. So the Choose Respect March, the initiative started under Governor Parnell several years ago. And it used to be a statewide initiative, just kind of Alaskans taking a stand and choosing respect over violence. It's a kind of an anti-violence, pro-healthy relationships, pro-healthy interactions kind of movement. Just to kind of say, as a community, these are things we believe in. We believe in treating each other with kindness, with respect, with compassion. And we haven't been able to have one in a few years, and this is our first one, I want to say since 2018, that we've been able to do in person. So we're really excited.
Takeaways from this conversation. I'm sure there's people that are listening that this really resonates with them. There might also be other people listening who might not feel like they know somebody who has experienced this. What are your takeaways for them, and how can we all move forward in ways that support each other in the community?
In Alaska, 58% of women have experienced domestic or sexual violence in their lifetime. That's more than half. And we do not have as reliable statistics for men or non-binary folks. But we know that those numbers are pretty significant too. And so that just kind of means if you know more than a couple of women, you probably know someone that has experienced these kinds of violence, whether you're aware of it or not. You almost definitely do. And so it's just really important to kind of always be aware. If you're, you know, with a group of people, if you're talking out in public somewhere, there are people who have survived these kinds of things that are around you that can hear what you're saying, that hear how you're standing up for survivors or not, that hear, you know, how you're talking about violence against women or not. And so the more we can be supportive, the more we can you know, do what we can safely to intervene in those situations, do what we can to support people that are feeling afraid in a moment, the better. The more we can help, the more people will feel safe to come forward and also get support.
That was the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center's Outreach Coordinator, Ellamy Tiller, speaking with KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth. The Choose Respect March starts noon tomorrow at the Shunack Tribal Hall in downtown Kodiak. KWRCC's 24-hour crisis line is 907-486-3625. For years, coastal Alaskan communities, a majority of them Alaskan Native villages, have contended with erosion eating away at the land and pushing more and more of the coast into the sea. A new article from nonprofit environmental news outlet Grist takes a look at what's at stake in these communities and what residents are doing to combat the loss of land. Saima Sedik wrote the article and explained to Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early how coastal communities like Dillingham have been hit by erosion.
If you walk down the beach in a lot of these places, you can just see the earth crumbling away. Huge bluffs are just not where you left them the day before. Rocks and trees fall over the edge. Landmarks are disappearing in some cases. These points that people used to use to navigate are just not there anymore to guide them. So definitely a big problem, threatening a lot of infrastructure, a lot of people's livelihoods, and just overall causing a lot of havoc and hardship.
And your story lays out a lot of local proposals to mitigate the impact of erosion. One of them has to do with reinforcing melting permafrost with something called thermosiphons. Can you explain what those are and how they address erosion?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So this is something that Tom Robbins at the University of Alaska at Anchorage is looking into. So thermosiphons are these large tubes that stick partly into the ground and partly out of the ground. And in them, there is a substance that alternates between being a gas and being a liquid. So when the substance is, when it gets cold, it condenses and it falls to the bottom of the tube, which is in the ground. And if the ground is warm, then that substance then heats up and turns back into a gas and goes up to the top of the tube where it's colder. And in doing that, it delivers heat out of the ground and into the air. And so it sort of keeps the ground frozen. These have been used in some inland sites. And there are some people who are suggesting that maybe they could be more widely used and maybe they could be part of a solution for erosion along coastlines.
I know that scientists made another observation that has to do with this correlation between where subsistence hunters process marine mammals and the rate of erosion. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So subsistence hunters have noticed that places on beaches where they process marine mammals after they catch them, those places tend to be resistant to erosion. And some scientists are wondering if there are oils that leak out of the mammals that might be responsible for that. And they're wondering if similar compounds could be found in other oils, like maybe even waste cooking oil. So this could be a way to possibly, you know, repurpose your French fry oil. After you eat your fast food, you could isolate these compounds from the leftover oil, and maybe that could be a way to stabilize the beaches.
And in response to erosion, several Alaska villages in recent years have already begun the process of relocating their communities. Can you talk a little bit about discussions researchers are having around portable housing?
Well, my understanding, and I must say I'm not an Alaska, I'm not a Native person myself, but my understanding is that back in the history of a lot of these groups, they used to move from one place to another depending on the season to keep themselves synced up with where natural resources were available. And some researchers are wondering, is it worth considering a move back to that sort of mobile lifestyle? There's another researcher I talked to who is currently applying for funding to have conversations with Indigenous communities and ask them if they think living in structures that are meant to be moved when conditions necessitate that, if that could be a viable strategy.
And in addition to coastal villages losing physical land, you mentioned there is a historical component to what's being lost in primarily Alaskan Native communities. What did locals tell you about what's at stake if the erosion continues to eat away at the coast?
Well, you know, it just really changes the way of life that they've had for a long time, I think. These are people who have a really long and deep relationship with the coastline and for whom the resources that they get from the ocean are deeply important. And so having to change their whole lifestyle and their whole communities, having to rearrange their whole communities in response to this problem, it's not as simple as it might be in some parts of the world. You know, if you buy all your food at the grocery store, then it might not be such a problem to just start going to another grocery store. But it's not that simple when you're used to relying on the land a bit more.
That was author Saima Siddiq speaking with Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the nation's banking system is stabilizing. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. In prepared remarks at a bankers' conference in Washington, Yellen emphasized that regulators are protecting bank customers by guaranteeing deposits at failed banks. Yellen said similar actions could be warranted if smaller banks remain at risk of failure. The median existing home price fell 0.2% last month compared to a year earlier. Buyers also saw a dip in mortgage rates. Existing home sales surged nearly 15% in February, according to the National Association of Realtors. President Biden has issued his first veto, blocking a bill that would bar federal retirement fund managers from considering environmental, social, and governance issues when making investment decisions. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate leasing and management. See a brighter way.
KMXT is supported by North Rim Bank, expanding its services with the opening of its new Kodiak Financial Center at 2695 Mill Bay Road. More information is available at northrim.com.
It's a tough time, but each of us can make a difference in the lives of Alaskans. All you have to do is give via Pick, Click, Give by supporting Alaska's nonprofits when you apply for your PFD. You aren't just donating, you're giving more opportunity, more hope, more chances. You're changing the lives of Alaskans with the click of a button. Don't forget to pick, click, give when you fill out your PFD application this year.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 21st day of March, the year 2023. The sun rose at 8:08 this morning. It will set again at 8:26. That will give us 12 hours and 18 minutes of daylight, a gain of 5 minutes and 1 second compared to yesterday. The record high for this date was 50 degrees, set in 1935, 1979, and then again in 2005. And the record low was 7, set in 1975. Currently, a pleasant 37 degrees here in Kodiak under fair skies. They are calling for a 30% chance of snow after 4 this afternoon, with increasing clouds today. High near 37, west winds turning to the south to 5. Snow is likely before 10 p.m. tonight, followed by snow showers. Low around 28 overnight with southeast winds to 30. Should come down to 15 or 20 after midnight, but could gust as high as 40. And snow showers for tomorrow, too, with a high near 37 and northeast winds to 10, but gusting as high as 30. Maybe another inch of snow tomorrow after the 2 to 4 inches predicted for tonight. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up this afternoon at 2:40 p.m. here on the east side. That will be 9.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:52 p.m. of minus 1.2 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 3:14 p.m. and be 15.7 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 9:32 this evening of -2 feet. Mariners, here's your weather from Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 miles offshore. Gale warning tonight and Wednesday for our east side. West winds to 25 knots are expected to turn to the south to 20 knots this afternoon, seas to 7 feet. For tonight, southeast 35 and seas to 11 feet. And for tomorrow, west 45, except north of Dangerous Cape, southeast 25, becoming north 30 in the afternoon, seas to 13 feet. Offshore, Marmot Island to Sitkanak from 15 miles to 85 miles. They are talking about a storm warning for tomorrow. For today, west winds to 30 knots and seas to 10 feet. For tonight, offshore, south 40, seas 12 feet, building to 17 feet after midnight. And for Wednesday, for 15 to 85 miles offshore, west 50, except north of Dangerous Cape, south 30, becoming northwest 40, seas to 24 feet, way out in the ocean. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tonight. West winds to 20 today, becoming southeast 15 this afternoon, seas to 5 feet. East winds to 35 tonight and seas to 10 feet. And north winds to 30 tomorrow, seas to 7 feet. The Kodiak City Council will be having a work session today at 3 p.m. The meeting is open to the public and will be held at the Kodiak Public Library. It also will be web-streamed. And the link for that, as well as meeting packets, are available online at the City of Kodiak website. If you have any other questions, contact the city clerk at 486-8636. And the Kodiak City Council will be having a work session also on Thursday. That will begin at 6:30 p.m. and be followed by their regular meeting. Both of those meetings will be held in the Kodiak Public Library. The work session will be web-streamed, and the link for that will be at the Kodiak Island or Kodiak City website. The regular council meeting will also be broadcast here on 100.1 FM, Kodiak's KMXT, and it will be web-streamed. If you have any other questions, remember, call the city clerk at 907-486-8636. Meetings coming up in the borough include tonight's meeting of Service Area Number 1 Board. They will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having a regular meeting. That will be happening at the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center at 5:15 p.m. tomorrow. On Thursday, March 23rd, the Assembly and the School Board will be having a joint work session. That's happening at the school district conference room at 6:30 p.m. And on Saturday, the Assembly will be having a special work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 9 a.m. All of these meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, Assembly meetings are live-streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. If you subscribe, they will send you live stream notifications. And as noted in the recent story, the Choose Respect March is Wednesday. That's tomorrow, starting at 12 p.m. at the Shunack Tribal Hall. Join the Choose Respect initiative to encourage the formation of healthy, respectful relationships and promote a culture of no tolerance for domestic and sexual violence. Help share the message of hope and healing. March with them and receive a free hoodie while supplies last. Choose Respect. That begins and ends at the Shunack Tribal Hall tomorrow, 12 p.m. And the AAR tax people are still in town. They will be here at least until the 6th of April. Tomorrow they will be there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's at the Job Services Room at room 110 downtown. If you need any more information, contact their volunteer tax aide at 907-444-9257.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, You can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.